This is Laura Radio, and I am here actually broadcasting from Paris, of all places, as people will know who follow the site. We are doing a European tour, about to go to Constance, Germany, for the first speaking engagement, and that should be a lot of fun, and we're both looking forward very much to starting out. So I came to Paris first to sort of cool out and get over jet lag. Not sure it's helping, but hopefully it will to some degree. Anyway, so it is actually 4 a.m. in Paris, and I'm hearing all kinds of rumblings of interesting things going on in the world and back in the U.S. and also investigating. I've got some more information coming at me from a new whistleblower with regard to the Aurora shooting, which is really fascinating stuff. And I don't know if we'll get into that with Barry. Barry Shamish is my guest, and he is an investigative journalist. And I'm going to see if he's on the line with me here. Barry, are you there?
Yep, I'm here.
Okay, Barry. It's lovely to talk to you. I am. We just did a show with you, and you interviewed me, so now I'm sort of returning the favor.
Well, I'm delighted that you view it as a favor, but what the heck?
All right. Well, it's great to have you here, and I admire your work. I was trying to tell people actually a few days ago when you interviewed me that I have been following your writings on and off through the years, and I find you a wonderful writer and, you know, a very interesting investigative journalist, whatever you want to call yourself. And I'm excited tonight because I get to ask you all the questions about your work, and I am very, very interested to hear more about what you do.
Well, what I wrote last week is having really, I'm amazed that an article can go viral. But yesterday I went to Google and I stopped at 36 pages, 36 Google pages on this article I wrote. Actually, it was a review. Someone named Christopher Boland wrote a book called Solving 9/11, and I reviewed it, and I don't know what kind of I don't know. I must have hit some kind of nerve. It's very hard to predict these reactions, but this one really seemed to have hit a nerve all over the world.
Yes. Well, it is a fascinating article, I have to say, and I read it, and I would love you to go down that sort of rabbit hole and talk about that.
I will. I'm all prepared. Now that I've written it, it's a lot better than when I'm just, you know, when it's in my head and not written down. Look, I've known Christopher Boland for 10 years. Now, the way I met him, and it left a very bad impression, I want you to know, but a decade ago, Yasser Arafat stole over $300 million from his people. And this came out during something called the Ginasar scandal. What it was the money was hidden in European, in secret loans, really bank accounts, phony bank accounts, phony businesses. I mean, if you're a crook, you know how to do this kind of stuff. And Yossi Ginasar, who was Israel's PLO liaison, was a crook. And Arafat stole, I mean, hundreds of millions of bucks from his people. And I wrote it. And the sources were solid. I mean, this was a national scandal in Israel. Now, when I wrote it, Boland contacted me, and he asked me for my research, and I sent it to him. You know, I don't like people stealing. I don't care who it's from. I don't like stealing. And then he writes this article, and boy, what an article. He has it. The way he sees my work is that Israel made Arafat steal the $300 million. All right. I mean, I was livid. I mean, I was just livid. And when I confronted him about this, really, exploitation of a fellow writer. Well, here's what he wrote me back in quotes. How could Arafat use that kind of money from his hovel in Gaza? You know, it's these kind of ethics that were in the back of my mind when I wrote his, when I reviewed his book. Now, he sent me the book and he got more than his money's worth. The book is being talked about in every corner of the internet right now, but let's just dive into this. I mean, let's start with the fact that Bolin was a writer for really anti-Semitic journals like Spotlight and the American Free Press, and now his opinion, this is what his book says, that Zionists were the force behind 9/11, and this is now becoming, you know, like near gospel in the extreme right community. And I was warning Jews, I don't care if you've ever heard of this guy, you'd better take note, because we can face a really, really horrible future if this thing spreads. And the real problem is he's not completely wrong. And again, you heard me when I say that he is not completely wrong. What he does is the classic spin, the mortal spin. He blames all Zionists for the very questionable behavior of one group, labor Zionism. And look, you got to understand, he blames the right wing, but the right wing in the 30s and 40s were thrown out of the Zionist movement by the labor Zionists. They fought a civil war until the late 40s against labor Zionism. Today in Israel, less than 10% of the population support labor Zionism or their values. What do they have in the Knesset today? 12, 13 seats out of 120. And even worse, labor Zionism, who... Look, they've got control of Israel because they've got the money. Without diving into they've got control of the media. They just plain and simple run the place. Forget that Netanyahu is supposedly representing the right wing. He's representing the labor Zionism. What it comes down to is they have declared war against the religious Jews, and they have, I mean, brutally expelled thousands from their homes. But to
Barry, I want to ask you a question here, because for my listeners, some people will be wondering, could you give a definition of labor Zionism as opposed to any other kind of Zionism?
Yeah, they're the socialists who founded Israel. Well, Ben-Gurion, I'll give you some of the names, you know, Ben-Gurion, Golda Meir, Shimon Peres, President of Israel, and what, we'll talk about him too. I mean, this is, and I'm saying this, let him sue me. I've said it enough times, in my 33 years in Israel, I openly said it, he's a serial murderer. He knocked off Yitzhak Rabin. He semi-knocked off Sharon. He's in hospital waiting for a brain. This guy is the head. Well, he is the labor Zionist president of Israel. Also in labor Zionism is Ehud Barak. He is Netanyahu's defense minister. He is the head of labor Zionism. That's what labor Zionism is. It's the socialists who founded Israel, and they did it in the most dirty of fashions. But let's not get to that now. Let's stay on topic. Now, the topic is Bolin. And what Bolin did is he wrote a book saying that Well, literally, all Zionists are cut from the same cloth. He lumps all of them together. Therefore, 9/11 was a Jewish crime. Now, listen, I got problems because he did some serious research, and I write honestly. I don't care if I like the guy or not. He did do serious research. Now, Solving 9/11, his book is just classic, hateful anti-Semitism, and he should just rewrite it so it's not so obvious, because no one's going to take it seriously. The problem is, parts of the book should be taken seriously. Look, Bolin accuses all Zionists of fomenting a false flag event on 9/11 in order to get Arab terrorists to take the rap. And that led immediately, like the day afterwards, American troops are sent to Afghanistan. Colin Powell had to delay a bit and present his reasons, but it worked. And then they attacked Iraq. American troops attacked Iraq. Now, this, according to Bolin, was the Zionist plan all along to get America to fight its Israel's enemies for Israel. And now, follow this. It gets tricky. Here is his argument. Now, to prove this is old Zionist tactics, Bolin begins with the attack on the liberty. I'll just quote him briefly. He said, "I have also studied the Israeli attack on the USS Liberty." What he says is, it was an unarmed Navy vessel off the coast of Egypt in 1967, attacked by the vicious Zionists. I also studied the Liberty attack, and a lot deeper than he did. I mean, he's just plain superficial. Look, here's what I wrote and compare the two. During the attack on the USS Liberty, I'm going to shorten this. The Sixth Fleet was in the Eastern Mediterranean, and the Liberty called for air support to save itself. The admiral in command of the Sixth Fleet called Washington, and Defense Secretary Robert McNamara got on the line, followed by Johnson himself, the president. McNamara said, and I quote, "I want that goddamn ship going to the bottom." Now, after a few hours, the attack was stopped with the Israelis. They did not succeed in sinking the Liberty. Now, I was in the Israeli Air Force for 13 years, really, a year and a half regular, the rest reserve. I went to all the air bases, talked to lots of pilots. Pilots dumped their bombs in the Mediterranean when they saw the American flag. They didn't understand why they were attacking an American ship. What really took place is President Johnson had personal control over the attack, and he made, his name is Moshe Dayan. He was the Secretary of Defense. Yeah, he outright the real thing traitor, and the real word. But the reason was he got good and blackmailed. What happened is Johnson told him to sink that ship. Now, the idea then was to blame Egypt for the sinking of the Liberty with its 277 soldiers, and then the U.S. would enter the war, take over Nasser's pro-Soviet regime. Now, this is important to know. Nasser really ticked off the United States. Beginning with Eisenhower, he asked Eisenhower to fund a dam on the Aswan, and Eisenhower had it looked into by his engineers, who told him that's the world's stupidest idea. He'll get a little hydroelectricity. He's got enough oil to run his electricity. In the meantime, it's going to hold back the silt, which is fed the Nile Valley for thousands of years of agriculture. and it's going to just kill all the fisheries of the Eastern Mediterranean, which it has done. And Eisenhower said, told them to go take a hike. We're not going to support this project. Eisenhower threw the Americans out of, Nasser threw the Americans out of Egypt, after he cut a deal with the Soviet Union to build a dam. And of course the dam exists today and the fisheries of the Eastern Mediterranean are gone and it's silting up. It's got maybe 10, 15 more years, before it's shelled. In short, the Americans, Egypt became the Soviet Union's number one ally in the Middle East, and Johnson wanted to end that. And in those days, look, Johnson was the Gulf of Tonkin. In 64, he got an American ship attacked. Well, it wasn't really attacked, but the word out was the North Vietnamese attacked an American ship in the Gulf of Tonkin. Well, in short, that led to the Vietnam War. Johnson's mentality was sinking ships brings diplomatic, grand schemes into focus, and he got his war again. He was going to do it again the Liberty in 67.
Okay, thank you. That's very well put together, and thank you very much for that explanation. We'll be right back and ask you some questions to delve in deeper. It's great to have you on, Barry Shamish.
In 2010, millions of people were awakened to the question of what. Now the next question that remains to be answered is, why in the world are they spraying? An investigative look into one of the many agendas associated with chemtrail geoengineering programs, weather control. Why in the world are they spraying? Premiering and streaming live August 18th at the three-day event, Consciousness Beyond Chemtrails Conference and Fundraiser in Los Angeles. For more info, go to www.cbclive2012.com. Why in the world are they spraying? Order your copy today at www.whyintheworldaretheyspraying.com. Watch the premiere live August 18th at the three-day event, Consciousness Beyond Chemtrails Conference and Fundraiser in Los Angeles. For more info, go to www.cbclive2012.com. Why in the world are they spraying?
And if you control the weather, you're going to control the planet. It's that simple.
Are you completely fed up with being dependent on those fat cat electricity monopolies that raise your rates again and again? Are you terrified about how you'll keep your home and family safe when a power crisis happens? 123/power.com has set up a free video presentation that exposes the electricity monopolies and government agencies for what they are, incompetent lying crooks that are counting on your ignorance and fear to keep your power bills criminally high. Some have called this a conspiracy, others have called it a cover-up, and you'll be shocked to find out how deep the conspiracy goes. The video at 123/power.com exposes the truth and shows you the secret to slash your power bill and beat the electricity monopoly for good. Watch the controversial video that thousands of other smart patriots have already seen in the last 3 months. Go to 123/power.com and discover one weird trick to cut your power bill and protect your home. Easy to remember, 123/power.com. Go watch the video now before they shut it down. Again, that's 123/power.com.
Assassination. You know what's interesting about assassination? Well, not only does it change those popularity polls in a big hurry, but it's also interesting to notice who it is we assassinate. You ever notice who it is? Stop to think of who it is we kill. It's always people who've told us to live together in harmony and try to love one another. Jesus, Gandhi, Lincoln, John Kennedy, Bobby Kennedy, Martin Luther King, Medgar Evers, Malcolm X, John Lennon. They all said, try to live together peacefully. Bam! Right in the head. Apparently we're not ready for that. Yeah, that's difficult behavior for us. We're too busy thinking around, sitting around trying to think up ways to kill each other. Here's one we came up with. It's efficient, too. Genocide. You know? Killing large numbers of people simply because they don't look like you, they don't talk like you, and they don't have the same kind of hats you do. You ever notice that anytime you see two groups of people who really hate each other, chances are good they're wearing different kind of hats. Keep an eye on that. It might be important.
Your natural organic herbal formula for heart health is Heart and Body Extract.
My name is Van, and I'm 68 years old, and I live in Vermont. In the spring of 2003, I started to have problems with my heart. It felt like my heart was pounding. It made me feel breathless. I tried many, many different things to try to get some help for myself. Nothing did anything.
Heart and Body Extract is very powerful, very effective, and works quickly.
I saw one of Sharon's ads and ordered Heart and Body Extract. I noticed a difference quickly. Within days, the episodes became less frequent, and by a month, they completely vanished.
Usually, you find a 30-day or 60-day guarantee. Heart and Body Extract comes with a lifetime 100% ironclad money-back guarantee. Details at hbextract.com or call 866-295-5305. Call 866-295-5305. 866-295-5305 for Heart and Body Extract.
You're listening to the future of talk. American Freedom Radio. This is American Freedom Radio.
Your life as it has been is over.
Don't miss the middle chamber of Greater X on AMR. Listen to the Paradigm Shift, Saturday nights, 8 p.m. Central.
And we are talking to Mary James Finish all about Israel's role in 9/11 and in ways in which he is drilling down and clarifying just who in Israel was involved and also sort of how things played out from his investigative work. That is revealing sort of a trail that leads to, I guess, what you call Barry labor Zionists, and making a very strong distinction between other groups in Israel, which is interesting. And I'm assuming labor Zionists, as you said, have control of the government, correct?
No. Well, yes, but look, on paper, it's still the Likud. The Israeli people have not voted in a labor government since 1974. The Israeli people want nothing to do with labor Zionism, but they've got control of the money and all that that buys. Now, let's look at Christopher Boland's logic. Now, look, as far as he's concerned, while Israel sinks American ships, well, that's not what happened. The liberty was the pueblo. It was the pueblo, Johnson's pueblo, to get rid of Nasser. And look, to further his argument that Israel uses terror to get its way, all right, this is a bit complicated, just follow with me. He uses, look, the chief of the Mossad for decades was Israel Harel. In the 60s, he ran the Damocles operation, which Boland writes, quote, was a terror bombing campaign to threaten German citizens and scientists, as German scientists, and prevent them from helping Egypt develop its defense systems. Now, look, guys, nobody believes that. In short, what it comes down to is that Israel killed a bunch of Nazis who were very close to developing a guided missile system aimed at Israel. It worked. It was proven legitimate. Hollywood made movies out of it. And what on earth is he defending these Nazis for? And that becomes very, very bothersome. Now, let's follow his logic further. Now, he must have gone through the internet, found 1,000 quotes, till he got the ones that fit in with his thesis. His thesis is dangerous. In short, He's blaming all Jews for 9/11, and believe you me, we're going to pay for that if this spreads. All Jews knew nothing about 9/11, but here's where it gets a little tricky. Now, follow with me. Harel, in an interview with Michael Evans, who I sort of know from Israel, Evans asked him if terrorism will strike America, and Harel answers in the affirmative, quote, "It's likely they will strike the Empire State Building, a symbol of your power." Now, this was said in 1979, and from this bit of speculation, look, if you were the, you didn't have to be the chief of the Mossad to figure out if the Arabs are going to strike somewhere. It's likely to be New York. And the best place in New York is the Empire State Building. Big deal. But from this bit of speculation, Boland builds a really broad conspiracy.
Let me just stop you there just to kind of find out a little more about this in terms of what you're saying is that the labor Zionists were involved, however.
I'm going to get to that.
Okay.
I'm getting to that. I have a few apostrophes before I do, but in short,
all right,
what Boland is saying, and then I'll dispute it, what Boland is saying is that Harel developed a plan, and then Netanyahu, all through the 80s, furthered the aims with his appeal to wage war against Israel's enemies, he claims, and the plan comes to fruition throughout the 90s when all the players are gathered together to play their roles. Now, right now in the book, Boland throws punches in all directions, but he manages to hit a few of those punches. Now, here's what he actually writes. And if he could figure out his... All right, here's what he writes. Quote one, Shimon Peres has the credentials of a Zionist arch-terrorist. Furthermore, he has the record on worldview and the capability to be an architectural planner of 9/11. Next quote, I discovered Olmert had visited New York on the eve of the 9/11 terror atrocity. Why wasn't his visit reported in the media? Next quote, in March of 2001, Ehud Barak came to America. His assignment was to oversee the preparation for the terror attacks of 9/11. Barak needed to arrange the production of an advanced form of super thermite. It's a very powerful explosive. Produced using nanotechnology. I'm in Boland's camp right now. I know these creeps. Look, I can say this as objectively as possible. I would suggest you go get my book, Who Murdered Yitzhak Rabin? It's at lulu.com, by the way, lulu.com. You'll see a search box right on my name, C-H-A-M-I-S-H. Read that book and try and dispute me. Nobody has. Peres knocked off Rabin. He murdered him. And by the way, if one of these days you want a full show on that one, boy, I'm the expert. My book went to number one in Israel. It was translated into 9 languages, and it should have taken off in America. But listen, a lot of people made sure it didn't. But in Israel, everyone knows it was a conspiracy led by Peres to knock off Rabin. He also knocked off Sharon. Sharon is actually alive in hospital waiting for a brain transplant. Eitan Zeevi, this man, to get his way, he murders people who gets in his way of so-called peace. Now, his Peace Center, well, its first order of business in the 90s was to fund nanotechnology. Now, as for Ehud Barak, who is Netanyahu's defense minister, oh, my goodness gracious, Ehud Barak oversaw, he arrived in Washington the night before JFK Jr. was murdered, and he was murdered. He was the editor of a magazine called George, which was, he was the only American, publisher exposing the real Rabin murder. And he had to go and, another show on that one. And as for Ehud Olmert, look, he was co-treasurer of the Likud party in the 80s. He was supposed to go to jail for massive fraud, but he didn't. His partner did, though, for 3.5 years, Menachem Atzmon. When he left prison, he was given the money. He had a new firm, ICTS, International Consultants on Target Security. They bought an American firm, Huntley, and took over security for Logan Airport in Boston and Newark Airport. Those were the airports that 9/11 planes took off from before they crashed, either into buildings or into the ground in Pennsylvania, which will become very relevant shortly. In short, without Ehud Olmert's partner, you couldn't have done 9/11. His firm checked cargo, visas, passports, passengers. They were in charge of security at the airports where the planes that of 9/11 took off from. Now, look, what you've got, I have confirmation. All right, here's my whistleblower. I mean, 9/11 was a setup from day one, because one of the architects of the World Trade Center, Aaron Swirsky, he lives in Netanya. He wrote me and he called me, but here's what he wrote me. I found the quote. How could jet fuel have caused the collapse? We had a sprinkler system on the roof to douse a fire caused by a 707 crash. Besides, the fire was out for over an hour before the buildings collapsed. That was, in short, an architect of the World Trade Center says it could not have happened. And by the way, I agree with Bolin on this. World Trade Center could never have happened without the help of very strong explosive. Come on, whoever heard of three buildings collapsing in a day anywhere in the world? Now, let's look at Bolin. Again, there's a reason for my logic, and we will get to labor Zionist, because right now he gives all the people involved in the cover-up. I'll speed through this. First of all, I'll jump to the punchline. They're all tied up with labor Zionism in ways. Well, look, here are the names. You figure it out for yourself. Peter Goetz, he was the managing director of NTSB. That was the federal agency that investigates air crashes. But he also personally, he supervised the very mysterious crash of JFK Jr.'s plane off of Cape Cod. And, well, you can figure that out. He has Morris Greenberg. He's the head of the insurance company AIG. The first plane that struck the World Trade Center went straight for the secure computer room of Mars. That is a company run by his son. Now, it gets even worse. To broker, there was a scrap deal. All of 9/11, all the steel went to Asia, which made no economic sense. That was due to, well, the presidentially pardoned Mark Rich, without diving into it. And as for Michael Chertoff, he was the senior official responsible for investigating and prosecuting 9/11. He made sure that the steel got to Asian mills instead of being examined as evidence. But the real problem, and by the way, the names keep rolling off. Michael Goff was the marketing man who, well, he sold P-TECH software to the FAA. That rigged the planes to crash into the buildings. Then there was Jeremy Kroll. That's the Mossad agent who gained control of the world security at the World Trade Center. And Arnon Milchan, he arranged the buying of the super thermite, actually used the explosive used to bring down the buildings. Now, here's what Bolin writes of Milchan. Israeli authors close to Milchan say that he and Shimon Peres are strategic partners and holders of some of Israel's most significant secrets. Now, look, let's get something very straight before we dive into what that means. I know 9/11 was an inside job. The most blatant clues are the giveaways. World Trade Center leasee, that's Larry Silverstein. He took over the properties in July of 2001 with a double indemnity clause that gave him $7 billion only if the buildings were filled by terrorists. Lucky Larry. And look, when United Airlines 93 fell or was felled in Pennsylvania, it was instead of crashing into Building 7. And with fire marshals threatening to discover the explosives within Building 7, at 5:20 p.m., in the smoldering shadows of Buildings 1 and 2, Larry Silverstein, on video, everyone's seen this, he pulled Building 7 in a perfect controlled demolition. The conspiracy started breaking down. UA-93 was supposed to go into Building 7. For some reason, instead it crashed in Pennsylvania. They were one airplane short. And with people snooping around the buildings, the evidence of explosives would have been found. So we engineered a perfect controlled demolition. Good job in one afternoon.
Okay, thank you, Barry Shamish. We'll be right back after this break.
Are you tormented with anxiety, depression, or other chronic symptoms of less than perfect health? In 2010, a few people got to participate in a groundbreaking discovery. Dr. Carolyn Dean, world-renowned authority on natural health, has recently patented a technology that is straight out of science fiction. And she invited me to try this product called RNA Drops. And within 12 hours of taking RNA drops, I could feel an amazing sense of bliss. And since then, I've watched my troubles with depression and other health issues vanish into freedom and happiness again. Listen to hours of testimonials and get your trial bottle of RNA drops at www.rnafreebottle.com. That's www.rnafreebottle.com. Look for our ad on AmericanFreedomRadio.com. RNA drops.
As many of you know, I promote my bullion business, Drockton Bullion, on a regular basis. I created Drockton Bullion to make sure that you were prepared for the economic collapse that will shortly befall not just the United States, but literally the entire globe. As you know, silver has increased in value almost 1,000% since 2000. And gold has gone up at least 600%. Drockton Bullion specializes in helping you find everything from 90% silver coins that were minted before 1964, 0.999% pure silver rounds, silver eagles, gold bars, gold coins, and everything else that you need for your bullion needs. But more importantly, you get me. Paul Drockton to consult with, to talk with, to help you, to guide you through the purchasing process. Holy Drockton Bullion has made millions in sales, my friends. We know what we're doing, and we can help you.
The year 2012 brings an ending and a new beginning to social, political, economic, and geological cycles for America and the world. The living prophecy that we are now voyaging through has many names ascribed to it. The Hopi say it's the closing of the fourth world of destruction, moving into the fifth world of peace. The Maya declare that we enter the fifth world age, the age of the center. All common themes in the array of prophecy that we are processing and purifying all the imbalances of the dying world age. We are transcending an era founded on duality, and we have turned away from the great spirit, resulting in greed, corruption, blind materialism, and disconnection from each other and Mother Earth. Collectively, we are poised at the brink of a world age rebirth in which we enter new domains of consciousness and manifestation, redeeming all the previous ages. Let's all join together to bring the vision of peace and love into reality, because we are the future, we are the heroes, and that we are who we have been waiting for.
Do you realize every day we are being put under constant stress from wireless radiation? What's worse is that you don't even know that it's happening. It puts as much stress on our body as if we had a constant viral infection, draining our energy and sapping our strength, or just making us irritable and fatigued. These wireless fields are being emitted from computers, microwaves, mobile phones, power lines, and any electrical appliance. Now there is a solution. A group of research engineers in New Zealand have come up with an active shielding device that shields you from wireless radiation at a cellular level. Blue Shield comes in three models: a household, portable, and USB that plugs into any computer. The great thing about Blue Shield is it is very affordable and guaranteed to last. A one-off purchase will see you being protected for years to come. Visit AmericanFreedomRadio.com and click on the Blue Shield banner. Blue Shield, brought to you by the VinnieEastwoodShow.com.
News and information you can trust. This is American Freedom Radio. Freedom, freedom, American Freedom Radio. Radio. American Freedom Radio.
Your frequency is ascending with Strange Universe Radio, the most popular internet program in the galaxy. Weeknight, 7 to 9 p.m. Pacific time, with your host, Sean David Morton.
Your head and you ask, is this where it is? Then somebody points to you and says, it's his. And you say, what's mine? And somebody else says, well, what is? And you say, oh my God, am I here all alone? But something is happening and you don't know what it is.
Okay.
Do you,
Mr. Camelot, Whistleblower Radio. We are talking to Barry Shamish, and hello.
Hi, I'm here.
Okay, I'm not. Is that somebody's phone?
No, it's. But I heard the noise too, but it's not from mine.
I see. Fine. Okay. So I just want to, I'm sorry, but they knocked me off the air at a certain point. I've been trying to catch up on what you were saying there. I understand that you're basically saying, I'm not even sure. Are you disputing the fact, or the idea that is put forward that, hold on one second. Are you disputing who was masterminding the Israeli sort of involvement in 9/11?
Oh, my Lord, if I wanted to, I could write a book tracing all the Protestants involved in the attack, beginning with the president, dripping down to Cheney. Look, on it, what happened in the States could not have been done by the labor Zionists. You had to have had major high level involvement, but that's not the point. What he writes, look, he's on the right track.
Right.
All right? I know about Paris, and I know about Barack, and I wouldn't put anything but nothing. I would not put anything over them. They could do anything. They are that rotten. But what he writes is the strategy was first articulated by the extreme right-wing politician Benjamin Netanyahu in 1980. In 1980, Netanyahu was 29 years old, and his political career hadn't yet begun, but I've traced this so thoroughly. Netanyahu is thoroughly controlled by an American organization. It's called the Council on Foreign Relations. He was an actual member in 92. Listen, it's not a tail wagging the dog here. The dog is wagging Israel.
Let me, because, you know, Barry, I've got a lot of places I want to go with you during the hour and 15 minutes we have left here.
We have that much time left?
I'm sorry?
We have an hour and 15 minutes left?
Or so, yeah. Yeah, we do.
All right, so, then let me finish this, and okay. Then you can have a freebie. I'm almost done with my review. Let's go to the punchline.
Go right ahead, then.
Look, what Boland has done, he's got the Likud doing 9/11. When all of his suspects are labor, except for Olmert, now I won't dive into that one. This guy's just so darn corrupt. Let's put it in perspective. During the last Depression, FDR had a similar gang of labor Zionists with names you might recognize like Brandeis and Schiff and Astor and Wise, all working to make sure the Jews of Europe were slaughtered without American interference. At the same time, there was a genuine rebellion by the Irgun to save the Jews, to start an army. It was quashed by the labor Zionists. The religious Jews of Europe were all but wiped out to the last man by the labor Zionists so they can rebuild an Israel in their image. These are the peacemakers of Israel today. And just like in the 40s, Israel, run by these crooks, faces annihilation. No joking around when I say that. Look, Boland's whole book, beginning with an incredibly ignorant foreword. Then he quotes all kinds of Jewish turncoats like Avram Burg and Chomsky and Ostrovsky and Shachak, and he expresses phony sympathy for the oppressed Arabs. He constantly refers to his German identity. This damn book reads like it was written for the Nazis 70 years ago.
Okay, I wouldn't be surprised there at all by the conclusion on your part, but what I want to do here is kind of make a sort of a left turn, if you will, before we get. I'd like to get back to the bombing of the ship and the complicity of Johnson, and I'd like to ask you where are your sources coming from on this, because I believe you're correct. Okay, so I'm not disputing it. There's no doubt that there has to be complicity on some level of the American government in order for the for whatever groups involved in Israel to get involved, however they get involved, whether it be bombing a ship or sinking a ship or whatever.
Israel would never attack America. It's not that stupid. And again, I'm going to say with the World Trade Center, for Israel to attack the World Trade Center would be the end of the country and finish. Listen, the real issue here is that the labor Zionists have brought a massive death to innocents, but no one as much as we other Jews. Now, look, there's a book that you should look at. It's called The Transfer Agreement. Edwin Black What a book in a way. It traces a horrible agreement between the labor Zionists and the Nazis. It was signed, sealed, and delivered in 1933. Up until that time, there were 250 Jewish groups representing the Jews of Germany. They were all banned. Only one was allowed, labor Zionism. They ran camps in Germany, turning doctors, lawyers, all kinds of professionals into farmers to work in dam kibbutzim. They managed to get 80,000 out. And then the gates were closed. No one was allowed into Palestine after the 80,000 German Jews arrived there. What you've got is a horrible agreement between the labor Zionists and the Nazis, and they knew what it would lead to. Now, you may not know Chaim Weizmann, but he was the first president of Israel. In 1936, at the Zionist conference, I believe it was in Basel, the quote is, not many Jews will survive the upcoming Holocaust. And that's the word he used. He thought 2 million would survive, but he said they'll be strong and good for Israel. The other Jews are consigned to the dustbin of history. Direct quote from Israel's first president, Chaim Weizmann. They knew what they were doing. These labor Zionists knew what they were doing. They did not want a bunch of Jewish religious. They didn't want them in their country.
Okay, but you know, just to bring this up to the present day, I found that the fact that you wrap in the dam in Egypt as a very interesting sort of objective.
I'm not an expert on the liberty. What can I tell you? I'm an expert in all kinds of other things that I'm comfortable with, but the sinking of the liberty is not my expertise.
Yeah, I understand. I understand where you're going with that. But what I want to ask you, you know, because we're in a situation here where the stage is actually set for another kind of liberty incident right now. Are you aware of that?
You've got, I think, two fleets in the Persian Gulf, if that's what you mean. You mean a tank, an aircraft carrier or something?
Well, no. What actually, I've been told they're called UUVs, underwater unmanned vehicles, and I have a person who. His name is David E. Martin, I believe that's his name. Anyway, he came on my show and was talking about a possible false flag that may happen around October.
Well, again,
just let me finish here so that you can kind of get the gist of it, and then I'd love to hear your response. All I'm saying here is that there is a very strong possibility, from what I understand, of an effort to get us involved with Iran, the same way they did with Iraq. And we'll be right back. Unfortunately, here's the break. And so on the other side of the break, I'd love to hear your response to that.
Now Now you and your family and friends can enjoy the cleanest, most delicious, and healthy drinking water anytime, even while traveling, camping, at sporting events, or in emergency situations. The Berkeleyite removes bacteria, cysts, parasites, and harmful chemicals to below detectable levels. It also reduces nitrates and unhealthy minerals like lead and mercury, while leaving in the beneficial and nutritional minerals your body needs. Berkeleyite is so powerful, it can even purify raw, untreated water from remote lakes and streams. And the optional PF2 filters even remove fluoride. The Berkeleyite LED, with its rechargeable lighting system, can be used as a nightlight or a camp light. To view or purchase your Berkey water system and replacement filters, please visit American Freedom Radio's website at AmericanFreedomRadio.com and click the Berkey banner. Once again, that's AmericanFreedomRadio.com and click the Berkey water banner. Not yet available in Iowa.
Are you completely fed up with being dependent on those fat cat electricity monopolies that raise your rates again and again? Are you terrified about how you'll keep your home and family safe when a power crisis happens? 123/power.com has set up a free video presentation that exposes the electricity monopolies and government agencies for what they are, incompetent lying crooks that are counting on your ignorance and fear to keep your power bills criminally high. Some have called this a conspiracy. Others have called it a cover-up, and you'll be shocked to find out how deep the conspiracy goes. The video at 123/power.com exposes the truth and shows you the secret to slash your power bill and beat the electricity monopoly for good. Watch the controversial video that thousands of other smart patriots have already seen in the last 3 months. Go to 123/power.com and discover one weird trick to cut your power bill and protect your home. Easy to remember, 123/power.com. Go watch the video now before they shut it down. Again, that's 123/power.com.
I have this feeling, man, because you know there's a handful of people actually run everything. That's true. It's provable. Handful, very small elite run and own these corporations, which include the mainstream media. I have this feeling who's ever elected president, like Clinton was, no matter what your promises you promise on the campaign trail, blah, 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 when you win, you go into this smoky room with the 12 industrialist, capitalist scum f***s who got you in there, and you're in this smoky room, and this little film screen comes down, and a big guy in a cigar, roll the film. And it's a shot of a Kennedy assassination from an angle you've never seen before. It looks suspiciously off the grassy knoll. And then the film, the screen goes up, and the lights come up, and they go to the new president. Any questions? Just what my agenda is. First we bomb Baghdad. You got it.
What would your life be like if you woke up each morning with new vitality, feeling better than you have in years, and you noticed a difference in your sleeping patterns, blood sugar levels, and had a sense of well-being overall? There's something that is changing thousands of people's lives, and you could be one of them. It's called Heart and Body Extract. Sharon Harris, co-creator of Heart and Body Extract, talks about the positive effects of Heart and Body Extract.
What happens with the formula Heart and Body Extract is it's giving the body the necessary vitamins, minerals, amino acids, enzymes, and phytonutrients so the body will heal itself. And yes, the body does have the ability to balance blood pressure, balance cholesterol, clean and unclog the arteries. It can also work on balancing the circulation for diabetics. So the body is an amazing thing. It simply needs some help so it has the tools to heal itself.
Heart and Body Extract gets results. To order your 2-month supply, call now, toll free at 866-295-5305. Order online at hbextract.com.
No rules. No rules. No taboo topics. No taboo topics. No fear of doom. No fear of doom. We are. We are. American Freedom Radio. American Freedom Radio.
Project Camelot Whistleblower Radio, and we're talking to Barry Seamus. Barry, right before the break, I was asking you a question about a possible false flag that we're looking at that may in some ways echo what went on with the Liberty, and only that according to David E. Martin, someone who has written a book about his experience on a very high level of involvement and sort of access at governmental levels, way above government, even as you think of it, more about the controller level, is talking about a plan to use what's called an underwater unmanned vehicle to basically create a false flag against one of the ships, similar to what happened with the Liberty, and is no doubt about it that it will be blamed that Israel will be considered the sort of fulcrum of that attack. And I'm just wondering if you have heard anything about this at all.
No, it's a scenario.
Yes.
I deal with my own sources, and why Israel is a fulcrum, how exactly is it balancing a lever? Why is Israel the fulcrum of this scenario?
Well, in some ways, the idea being that from what I understand, Israel would like to get into a war with Iran. This is what we're being told in the media time and time again.
You sure are. Look, I want you to understand something. I deal with what would happen if there was a war with Iran started by Israel. Israel wouldn't exist the next day. Israel cannot win this war. Now, what you've got, Hezbollah's probably got, 50 to 80,000, believe it or not, 50 to 80,000 missiles. The real problem is Syria's got missiles with really dangerous warheads, biological,
yes,
chemical. I've heard even nuclear.
Right.
Maybe just dirty nuclear, you know, throw around a few rags that were in a reactor or something. But nonetheless, the border is wide open now. I mean, Syria is collapsing. Hezbollah is getting all kinds of stuff over that border. If there's a war, you have to remember what happened in 2006 when Israel fought Hezbollah. Israel lost. And I was in contact with Israel every day almost during that war. And all of northern Israel, anyone who had a car, evacuated and abandoned their homes. You had all of northern Israel abandoned. What happened is that Israel lost to Hezbollah in a missile war.
Okay, but let's look at the situation of who is Netanyahu and what is his agenda, because I've got an article here that was written and published yesterday or today on Veterans Today. Are you familiar with that publication?
Yeah, they published – well, I'm familiar with it because they published my recent piece – and sent it every which way.
Okay, great. So they've got an article today by Gordon Duff that talks about a General Dempsey, who is chairman of the America's Joint Chiefs of Staff. And from what I understand, he basically is saying to Netanyahu that America does not want to get involved in a war against Iran. And apparently this general was then subject to an assassination attempt.
Oh, what do I know about that?
But it brings in what they're basically saying is that perhaps Netanyahu is involved. And you're talking about what you call the labor Zionists. And I'm just wondering, since Netanyahu would be considered the leader of that group,
he wouldn't. He's the leader of the Likud, which supposedly is the right wing of Israel, but it isn't. The right wing of Israel has absolutely no power. I mean, none. What you're talking about, again, But are you saying you want to accuse Netanyahu of assassination? I happen to, I don't know him well, but I know we've met, and I know some of his staff. I know Dory Gold, that's his UN ambassador. We were friends briefly in Israel.
But are you saying, my question is whether or not Netanyahu, indeed, is involved with certainly getting Israel in sort of embroiled in a war. First of all, Netanyahu
is a pawn of the Council on Foreign Relations, and he doesn't do anything unilaterally. Nothing. Okay. What are you picking on Netanyahu for?
Well, it's not a matter of picking. I'm citing an article here by Gordon Duff that is suggesting.
I don't know who he is, and I don't know who the general is, and I really doubt that Netanyahu would order an assassination. It sounds pretty wacky to me.
Okay, so you do not feel that Netanyahu has the kind of power that they are actually alluding to here.
I don't even know what the article is, and it sounds like he doesn't know Israel.
Well, okay. Veterans Today is the publication.
Right.
He's the senior editor of Veterans Today. His name is Gordon Duff. He's a CIA agent.
Well, I doubt agent. Maybe an ex or something. Look, all I can say is you're asking the wrong person. What you're trying to imply is that Netanyahu ordered a hit after he had a disagreement with a general, and that's not who he is. I'm trying to tell you that I know him, and I know his staff. I know the American ambassador to Washington. In fact, we were very close friends in the Army, and what you're describing is not...
Okay, fair enough. So let's go down the road of you are saying that it's that what you called the labor Zionists. So who's in charge of the labor Zionists at this time in Israel?
Defense Minister Ehud Barak. Listen, they shouldn't even be in the Knesset, in the cabinet. They don't have any public support. They're there because Netanyahu was, like previous administrations, forced to take them in. What you're describing, again, is this vast war coming up, and I'm trying to tell you that Israel will lose in this war coming up. We're talking from two different perspectives. You're talking like Israel is strong. Israel is not strong. The last war they fought against Hezbollah, Israel lost. All right?
Okay.
It went on for 34
yes.
days. Israel's economy was shattered. The entire north of the country was abandoned. A war for Israel, and I'm trying to explain this to you, there's missiles everywhere going from the Syrian side to the Hezbollah side. What you've got, even if Israel wins, what is a victory? What is a victory if you lose thousands of people and your country is in ashes?
Yeah, I'm with you on that. Look, we're both on the same side in that regard, no doubt about it. Well, what I'm trying to do here is kind of bring things into the present day, if you will. And so what I'd like to do is talk about, because I know you've written this other book, and I do want to talk about your book called The Return of the Giants.
Oh, yeah, that's going to be a very odd... what the heck? I got probably as much international recognition over that one as the Rabin one, but it's going to ruin my credibility to a few listeners. But okay, if you want to jump there, we'll jump there.
I mean, no. The thing is, you know, this is Project Camelot. Okay, you're dealing with Project Camelot here, and this is the radio station that you're on, and so we have a listening base that goes all across the map, according to what they understand. understand as what we call the bigger picture. We're looking at where is power on the planet Earth and where is it coming from and where is
not
it going?
Not from me.
Well, but you are dealing
well,
with...
Well, I just gave you the answer. Look, you want to do Return of the Giants, I'll do Return of the Giants. I'm ready for you, okay?
All right.
But let me do an intro. Because
all right.
No matter who your listeners are, what I just spoke about was dead serious. Go to my web. All right, let's get this over with right now, or I'm going to be in trouble later on. If you want to look at Return of the Giants and all my books, after this show, go to lulu.com. That's www.lulu.com. There's a search box right in my name, Chamish. That's how you spell Chamish. You'll get Return of the Giants has a very expensive color edition. The black and white edition is $20. Buy it, or you can download it for like $4, $5. My website is barrychamish.com. There, I did that. Now we can talk about Return of the Giants.
Let me slow you down just a little bit, because before we go to the Return of the Giants, what I want to do is ask you a few leftover questions, and I know that this is, you know, look, this is the fact that you've written two different kinds of books, and we want to try to...
I've written 13 books in the last 20 years. This
yes,
was...
I'm talking most recently, and what we want to do is deal with both of them if we can in the short span of time that we have,
right.
Just to get people familiar with your work, if you don't mind. And so what I want to do is I want to ask you where Rothschild, in your view,
what Rothschild? I don't know any Rothschilds. Again, you're asking the wrong question. If you want to dive into a family, I mean, which Rothschild? What's his name?
Well,
no,
you're
saying Rothschild is... What's his name? Which Rothschild?
Okay, I don't know. Baron Rothschild. I don't
right.
know. Right.
I don't want to dive into this. This kind of broad... ultimately, if you don't know who you're talking about, I actually know a little bit about this, and I don't want to dive into this. The fact of the matter is, if you want to talk about the French Rothschild family, they put in the money to build a Supreme Court in Israel, which unfortunately is really a grotesque, cultic building with the all-seeing pyramid and the obelisk and the 33 steps and all the crap and stuff like that. I know, but I can tell you who, and I can tell you what you did, and you're just painting broad strokes that Rothschilds are behind this and this. It doesn't work that way.
Okay, if it doesn't work that way, do they have any impact on, does the Rothschild family, who are the banking empire, okay, on Israel?
Name their banks. If they're the banking empire, name their banks.
They own every bank on the planet.
That's not true.
Okay, that's not true because you know it to be not
right.
true, or do you know what I'm talking about?
They own Bank of America.
Yes.
How?
They do. Well, this is the area we're going. We're actually going to a level of power that I don't know. Maybe you think only in terms of country versus country.
I think in terms of actual individuals owning banks. I have to know what they own. I know if you want to do Rothschild, I can actually talk a little bit about it. But you're just painting a very broad stroke of a conspiracy.
It's a question. I'm not painting anything. It's a question. If you want to go down that road, I'm asking you, do you know anything about the involvement of Rothschild?
No, I don't want to go down
it. In terms of...
Excuse me? I don't want to go down that road. You want
All right.
to talk that
All right.
the
You're
first
not
Israeli...
There. Okay, fine.
Community Rishon LeZion was funded by the British Rothschild family. Fine. You want to talk that the Balfour Agreement was sent to Sir Lionel Rothschild and that got the ball rolling, fine. But I know the details, and you don't, and you're painting a conspiracy with Rothschilds behind it.
Well,
yes,
no, I'm
they
not
are behind
you're
some
jumping,
stuff.
Excuse me, you're jumping to a lot of conclusions. I've asked you a question. It's just a question. It's not painting anything. If you don't want to address the question, that's fair enough. We can go to another question. That's, you know, it's your right.
Let's make it simple and easy with that issue. Israel's first city, Rishon LeZion, came from the English Rothschild family. They put up the funds. All right, Lord Balfour in 1917, sent Lionel Rothschild a copy where the British government would look upon favor of a Jewish entity in Palestine. Yes, that's all true. But when you try and put it together, I'm not gonna do that. What
All right.
you've got without
All right, fair enough.
What I know about has been a disaster for the Jewish people. The disaster of labor Zionism, I wish it never existed. I wish the Jews of Europe still lived. There is a history of Well, how can you say, within the Jewish people are our own worst enemies. And when you look at our own worst enemies, you have a history. And I wrote a book about this. It's called Shabtai Tzvi, Labor Zionism, and the Holocaust.
Okay.
I have many people who have told me that's my best book, better than Rabin. Oh, I hear music. When we get back, do you
yes.
want to talk about...
I'd like to talk about the Return of the Giants. Yes, thank you, Barry. We'll be right back.
In 2010, millions of people were awakened to the question of what... Now the next question that remains to be answered is, why in the world are they spraying an investigative look into one of the many agendas associated with chemtrail geoengineering programs, weather control? Why in the world are they spraying, premiering and streaming live August 18th at the three-day event, Consciousness Beyond Chemtrails Conference and Fundraiser in Los Angeles. For more info, go to www.cbclive2012.com. Why in the world are they spraying? Order your copy today at www.whyintheworldaretheyspraying.com. Watch the premiere live August 18th at the three-day event, Consciousness Beyond Chemtrails Conference and Fundraiser in Los Angeles. For more info, go to www.cbclive2012.com. Why in the world are they spraying?
And if you control the weather, you're going to control the planet. It's that simple.
As many of you know, I promote my bullion business, Drockton Bullion, on a regular basis. I created Drockton Bullion to make sure that you were prepared for the economic collapse that will shortly befall not just the United States, but literally the entire globe. As you know, silver has increased in value almost 1,000% since 2000, and gold has gone up at least 600%. Drockton Bullion specializes in helping you find everything from 90% silver coins that were minted before 1964, 0.999% pure silver rounds, silver eagles, gold bars, gold coins, and everything else that you need for your bullion needs. But more importantly, you get me, Paul Drockton, to consult with, to talk with, to help you, to guide you through the purchasing process. Literally, Drockton Bullion has made millions in sales, my friends. We know what we're doing, and we can help you.
The Ten Commandments. Here's my problem. Why are there ten? I think the list of commandments was deliberately and artificially inflated to get it up to ten. Here's what they did. About 5,000 years ago, a bunch of religious and political hustlers got together to try to figure out how to control people, how to keep them in line. They knew people were basically stupid and would believe anything they were told, so they announced that God had given them some commandments. Up on a mountain, when no one was around, God God had given them the Ten Commandments. Why 10? Why not 9 or 11? I'll tell you why. Because 10 sounds official. They knew if it was 11, people wouldn't take it seriously. It's a political document artificially inflated to sell better. 10 is the basis for the decimal system. It's a decade of the top 10, the 10 most wanted, the 10 best dressed. So having 10 commandments was really a marketing decision.
Critics and fans alike are calling the latest book by Sean David Morton, Sands of Time, amazing. 5 stars. A soaring adventure. Better than anything by Dan Brown and James Patterson by far. A sweeping, epic masterpiece. Incredible true story of Dr. Ted Humphrey and his involvement with Area 51, the Dulce Wars, the Montauk Project, and his meteoric rise to become head of an all-powerful shadow government engaged in a desperate above-top-secret race against time to save the world. Sands of Time is truly remarkable, a rare and precious look behind the curtain of New World Order super technology with enough hard science to convince even the most cynical skeptics. From the Philadelphia Experiment and Roswell to teleportation and time travel, Sands of Time solves the mysteries that have been baffling the world for 70 years, proving that all we have come to accept as reality is wrong. Sands of Time by award-winning author Sean David Morton, available exclusively as a signed first edition hardback only at StrangeUniverseRadio.com. Read this fantastic book and never be the same.
Welcome to the world's meeting place. American.
Practically narcotic.
Freedom.
Oh, yes. I like very much.
Radio.
You're an American institution.
American Freedom Radio.
Your daily dose of conspiracy and comedy is the Vinnie Eastwood Show. In a world so full of madness and chaos, don't lose your sense of humor or you'll go friggin' nuts. Weekdays 5 to 7 Central on American Freedom Radio.
Project Camelot, Whistleblower Radio. We are talking to Barry Shamish. And right before the break, we were asking him some questions about the involvement of the Rothschilds in Israel, and also prior to that, Netanyahu, and what exactly his sort of role has been. So, Barry, I know we're kind of going over some of this stuff on a fairly superficial basis at the moment, but we have only limited time because of the nature of radio. And so what I'm trying to do is get a sort of bits and pieces of all your work in here so that we can begin to find common ground. You did write a book.
We have plenty of common ground.
Yes, absolutely. And so what I'm asking here is now in terms of your book, Return of the Giants, if we can now make the leap to Return of the Giants, do you want to give an introduction to
this
that?
Is, again, I was in Israel trying to make a living. Okay? Now, the UFO business started when I was in the Air Force. I served, let's just say, we had very good equipment in my unit. And in the summer of 1980, we had convoys, squadrons of UFOs flying over Israel. Turns out they were flying over everywhere. But neither here nor there, I would take our binoculars and I'd watch these things, and then people would follow me. And before you knew it, we were fighting. I mean, these things, try to imagine a 90-degree turn in midair. They were doing stunts no Air Force could do. So we would watch these things and really good equipment, watch them. My duty was, I was a missile operator. I was supposed to shoot things in the sky. So our units had equipment to watch things in the sky a lot better than you can imagine. We were fighting about what they were. It really was two camps. We all agreed on what we saw.
Okay, and again, can we talk about what year was this?
1980.
Okay, very good. So
summer.
So at that point, what did you do?
What I did was, I was a soldier, and I, again, there were two camps. One was, this was secret weapons. They were testing secret weapons. The other was, no way there are secret weapons that can turn 90 degrees. The other was, they are genuine UFOs. And we were split in two, and it was causing great disharmony in our unit. So we went to our officers, and we said, look, we got to know, what are we watching every night? And lo and behold, one morning, we were told to put on dress uniforms, those you wore when you went home, and stand in threes at attention. Okay, we put on dress uniforms, we stood in threes, we stood at attention. In comes an officer. He's from, believe it or not, the meteorological division of the Air Force, of all things. And, you know, we're told at ease, and he says, I understand you've been seeing things in the sky. And we all said, well, in Hebrew, Ken Adoni, yes, sir. And he says, well, you didn't. And anyone who tells anyone that they saw something in the sky is going to be held for a trial. And he steps back. Our officers come forward and tell us to go back to attention, and he leaves. We were ordered, under threat of a trial, not to discuss this. Now, that
wow.
is my...
Oh, that's just amazing. Yeah.
No, believe me, it's minor. The big way, that's what started me.
Okay.
I started reading UFO books. I mean, look, I'm a soldier, and I'm not an officer, and they told me I would be put in jail if I opened my mouth about this. So I started reading books, and I got interested in the subject. Then the big wave hit. Now, it lasted from 1987 to 1999. But this was no ordinary wave. All of Israel knew about it. Front page news, television reports, hundreds of thousands had seen them. I'm going to give you a few examples. The big, big turning point was in 1993 when she ported Carmel in a town called Kadima. Well, she not only saw the being, she had in her backyard a circle. And I was there, I think, a year later. Nothing grew in this circle. She got up one morning. By the way, everything I'm going to say happened on the Sabbath, on a Saturday morning, something uncanny. Seven different witnesses. Not all from Kadima. There were two from Kadima. The rest were from elsewhere. They didn't know each other. They all were visited by giants. Now, look, what we just spoke about previously and what we just spoke about and what we are speaking about now, I don't think are connected, but there is a slight connection, which I'll mention later. The point is, I was a freelance journalist trying to earn my living. I interviewed Sipora, and I went down to her place, and then this was on April 20th of 1993. She had another visitation. The first time she felt drawn outside. She went outside and saw what she saw was a 7-foot being. She called it in a beekeeper's hat. Now, everyone spoke telepathically. She saw a disc. And there was a path from the disc. He was, 20 yards away down the path. Look, believe me, looking at flowers. One of the great questions we have later is why these beings would come from God knows where to look at flowers. But neither here nor there. This disc adds a second floor in front of her eyes. She looks right. She sees this being wearing a beekeeper's hat. She says to it, take off the hat. I want to see your face. And it answers her telepathically, can't do, no way, and tells her, go back into the house. I'm busy. I have things to do. And she obeys it. She comes out later in the afternoon, and there's nothing there but the disc, the circle in her backyard. The same thing happens a week later. So I interview her, and this is the beginning of Return of the Giants. After her came Shoshana Arbel, also from Kadima. Look, her story
is fascinating. This is excellent information, Barry, and I'm so glad that you had the guts to write about this stuff.
I was starving. It was a way to make a buck. Look, curiosity, first of all. Later on, I continued the whole investigation because the media of the world were attracted to me somehow. You know, I was the advisor to 5 episodes of the sighting show.
No, I didn't know that.
Well,
okay.
No, it. I was. As a matter of fact, a friend of mine saw me on the Science Channel 2 weeks ago. That was the Fox TV half an hour primetime TV on my investigations. My investigations went worldwide. Look, let's continue with the story and you'll see what's going on. I didn't just investigate. I sent these things to the board. There was physical evidence. All right, let's go back to the story. Shoshana Arbel is the next woman, and it's her story is a little weirder. In this case, it went through the wall to circle her bed. Again, through the wall, there was no other entrance. Whatever these things were, they don't react to physical nature like us. It circled, again, 7 foot tall, barely any nostrils, big eyes, bald head. All of them that describe this, all of them describe the same thing. In her case, she told it telepathically. It wasn't there to harm her. And she relaxed automatically, and in the morning she thought it was a dream. The husband slept through it all. All the husbands slept through it all. It was only women who saw the giants. They were all 39 years old. 2 of them, there were weird pregnancies. I won't dive into the details. She opens her blinds, looks in her backyard. There is the circle. This time, there was a UFO community in Israel. They gathered at the circle. Now, inside the circle were 2 physical commonalities. One, there was a red fluid. You put your hand in the circle. Your hand was red. It was doused in some sort of oil. It was gathered. Secondly, there was a rock, very crystal clear. It was in all the circles. It was gathered. I sent it to laboratories. Other people sent it to other laboratories. It was almost pure silicon. 99, I think it was 0.38. At that time, mankind didn't commonly, or if at all, get silicon that pure. Later it was used in computers. The point is, that was in her backyard. Next, oh my goodness, no, that's not her name, my goodness. You caught me off guard. She lives, oh my goodness, I'm so embarrassed
okay,
about
you know- That's okay, Barry, because we don't need to go into all the different details.
Oh, it's weird.
What we need
when
are
you
the,
find out how
the,
these giants people. Reacted to the women. Hannah Somek, I got it. Hannah Somek lives in about 5 miles away. Now, listen to this. She gets up at 3 a.m. Her dog is barking. She goes into the kitchen, and she sees the dog barking, and suddenly the dog is lifted in the air and smashes smashes headfirst into the wall. She looks out from the door to her porch, and she sees the same seven-foot giant, bald-headed being, and she says to it, now, believe it or not, she says to it, "What did you do to my dog?" Now, this being, believe it or not, again, is examining her truck, of all things. They have to go through the universe and probably dimensions. I don't know what they did, actually, to arrive there to look at a truck. And the being, again, answers her telepathically, "Listen, ma'am," I added the ma'am, says, "I could do the same thing to you. Go back to your husband. Go back to bed. I'm busy." So she tries to go outside to confront it, and her door is blocked. Who knows what? Her door was blocked by something invisible. That was the next one. By the way, I went to all these people's homes. I saw all their discs. I saw all the evidence. I sent it to the sightings, that was Dr. Levengood. I gave the silicon. I had it chipped off at the University of Birmingham. Another one chipped off at the University of Pisa. I had them all tested. They were all returned to me. They were, look, the silicon, everyone agreed, was 99.3 and plus percent raw silicon. What was it doing in their backyards? The oil that was in their backyards was very normally, well, it had high levels of aluminum and iron, which could be expected. But it had a huge jump in cadmium, which is not usually an oil. It's usually metallic, and that was considered very, very strange by the crew's sightings, by the Dr. Levengood's sightings. The point
okay,
is...
Okay, let me ask you, Barry, did you talk about this on sightings?
Of course I did. I would, okay. I'll send you a DVD where all five sightings are shown. You can have them all. Just email me your address and you'll get it.
Okay, excellent. Well, I think you're going to get a lot of emails. Do you want to say your email address?
Go to my website at barrychamish.com and you'll get my email address. And anyone wants it. For cost, I'll send it out. And by the way, there's much more on there.
But at this point, you've got these incidents in which they're all talking about a being, one being by itself, right?
No. Now, you have the incident in Rishon LeZion. I'll tell you this story.
Okay,
the first
right
night,
after the break, we'd love to hear the story, so we'll be right back. Thank you.
Are you tormented with anxiety, depression, or other chronic symptoms of less than perfect health? In 2010, a few people got to participate in a groundbreaking discovery. Dr. Carolyn Dean, world-renowned authority on natural health, has recently patented a technology that is straight out of science fiction. And she invited me to try this product called RNA Drops. And within 12 hours of taking RNA drops, I could feel an amazing sense of bliss. And since then, I've watched my troubles with depression and other health issues vanish into freedom and happiness again. Listen to hours of testimonials and get your trial bottle of RNA drops at www.rnafreebottle.com. That's www.rnafreebottle.com. Look for our ad on AmericanFreedomRadio.com. RNA drops.
Are you completely fed up with being dependent on those fat cat electricity monopolies that raise your rates again and again? Are you terrified about how you'll keep your home and family safe when a power crisis happens? 123/power.com has set up a free video presentation that exposes the electricity monopolies and government agencies for what they are, incompetent lying crooks that are counting on your ignorance and fear to keep your power bills criminally high. Some have called this a conspiracy. Others have called it a cover-up, and you'll be shocked to find out how deep the conspiracy goes. The video at 123/power.com exposes the truth and shows you the secret to slash your power bill and beat the electricity monopoly for good. Watch the controversial video that thousands of other smart patriots have already seen in the last 3 months. Go to 123/power.com and discover one weird trick to cut your power bill and protect your home. Easy to remember, 123/power.com. Go watch the video now before they shut it down. Again, that's 123/power.com.
You, as a free, beautiful, independent human being with inalienable rights, own yourself. As a result, you can do what you want with your own body and own the product of your labor. The implication is that it is morally wrong to initiate force against someone else or their property because to do so is to violate their rights. Therefore, all human interactions should be free of force, fraud, and coercion, and people should be free to exercise their rights limited only by respect for the rights of others. When you learned don't hit and don't steal, it wasn't unless you work for the government. When you learned thou shalt not kill, it wasn't unless your dear leader gives you a gun and a uniform and a one-way ticket to the other side of the world. Government is force, an opinion with a gun. And force is a poor substitute for persuasion. Governments frighten us into thinking we need them. But with knowledge, philosophy, and technology, we are empowering ourselves and each other to have the courage to move past the paradigm of statism and restrain government to only moral uses of force, at least until we replace it with the cooperative free market solutions that will soon render it obsolete.
Your natural organic herbal formula for heart health is Heart and Body Extract.
My name is Van, and I'm 68 years old, and I live in Vermont. In the spring of 2003, I started to have problems with my heart. It felt like my heart was pounding, made me feel breathless. I tried many, many different things to try to get some help for myself. Nothing did anything.
Heart and Body Extract is very powerful, very effective, and works quickly.
I saw one of Sharon's ads and ordered Heart and Body Extract. I noticed a difference quickly, within days. The episodes became less frequent, and by a month, I completely vanished.
Usually, you find a 30-day or 60-day guarantee. Heart and Body Extract comes with a lifetime 100% ironclad money-back guarantee. Details at hbextract.com or call 866-295-5305. Call 866-295-5305. 866-295-5305 for Heart and Body Extract.
Online, all the time, your gateway to the world.
AFR
American Freedom Radio.
Give it to them.
Truth Brigade Radio, live Monday through Friday, 7 to 9 p.m., only on AmericanFreedomRadio.com. The truth has just gotten hotter.
Project Whistler Radio. And we are talking to Barry Shamish. We've made a right turn here, left turn, whatever you want to call it, into his book, The Return of the Giants. And Barry, I do think you're onto something here. I don't know if you've connected the dots, but I believe it connects back into what's going on the planet. And so let's proceed along this line, if you don't mind.
Right.
You said that the beings do not operate on their own necessarily. A couple of these sightings saw one being. So you're saying there are some sightings with more than
one? Come on, there were whole craft. Whole craft. Let's go to the incident of Batya Shimon. That's in Rishon LeZion. Now, up till now, by the way, this is in July of 1993. Up till now, from April 20th, all the incidents have been on the ground. There were circles. By the way, they were 15 meters in diameter. They were all the same size till later. A little later, they got different. But neither here nor there, Batya Shimon lived on the seventh floor of her apartment block, and that made it different. In July, one night, two beings, by the way, the same thing, 7 feet tall, wearing metallic. They called it neon or shiny or metallic. They all used the same description, roamed her apartment. Now, her husband, again, slept through, and she didn't. Just leave it at that. So they roam around, and she thought it was a dream. The next night, she wakes up again. Her husband doesn't. And she's got 13 of them, a whole group of these same seven-foot giants roaming her apartment. They're dusting it. She called it sulfuric-looking dust. They are overturning her apartment. And one of them goes into her son's bedroom. He sees an aquarium and the fish. He gets very excited and calls over a buddy. He comes over to look at the fish. And by the way, they went through the wall somehow. Seventh floor, they didn't climb up a ladder. That's Batya Shimon. Now, I want to add something. She phoned me from Los Angeles. I guess it was about almost a year late. No, it was July, and she phoned me in the fall. It was months later, actually. She gets very excited on the phone. She says, "You have to help me. I'm pregnant." And I said, "Congratulations." And she said, "You don't understand. It can't be my husband." Hana Somek, same thing. About 20 years before, she got pregnant. She didn't know how. She had the forms and gave them to the sightings crew. The pregnancy disappeared a few months later. The forms just said pregnancy gone. There was something going on there above and beyond what we think about. I'm not going to dive into that. Just leave it be said that was one episode, the episode of the giants. Now, first of all, you want to connect the dots. I'll connect them to you. The best I can do in this book, then we'll go back to this long, long wave of UFOs. And I want to add something. Well, Israel was getting them like crazy, and I'll send you the DVD that I made. They're in every shape, size, and form you can imagine. Israel's neighbors didn't get it. They weren't being seen in Lebanon or Jordan or the Sinai. It was an Israeli thing. Now, in short...
Okay, but at this moment, what I'd like you to do is... Can you say that all the beings looked the same? And can you really kind of drill down on their description?
I can do that easily. Again, the sightings crew asked all the women to draw them. And it's on the DVD. It's on the sightings show. They all have the same bald-headed, how do we put this, little nose, little mouth, big eyes. They all drew the same thing.
Okay, very interesting.
That already.
And but they're all 7 feet tall, correct?
Yeah.
Okay. Now, did any of the people that you interviewed, did they ever go in a ship?
No.
Okay, interesting. All right, and
well, not that they remember. And frankly, again, this book, My Return of the Giants. I didn't make things up. They didn't claim that, but I did mention the pregnancies. And I did mention that all the visits were on a Saturday night. There were major coincidences, but let me dot the I's for you right now. Look at the dates of when it all happened. Now, I admit this is speculation. Up till now, it's not. All right. But the first visitation, that was, again, our bell. And it wasn't exactly a visitation. No, none of these giants wanted anything to do with their witnesses. They were up to something else, and it seems like they were up to really stupid stuff, like looking at flowers and fish and trucks. You worked that one out, but the fact is April 20th was the first. I believe it was the 7th of July was the last. That was the giant, the 7-foot giant visitation phase. Look, the Oslo so-called peace agreement was formulated in April and it was signed in July. It was officially signed in August with Clinton looking over the happy peacemakers. I'm guessing now, okay? We'll go back to reality in one second. I'm guessing the raw evil that came out of Israel, the raw evil, again, of the peacemakers of labor Zionism somehow drew these giants out. And again, they're not Nephilim. I researched that thoroughly. They're not ancient Nephilim. They didn't act like them. They didn't look like them. The biblical accounts are not like them. They were not explainable in any other way.
So thank you for that. So the bottom line is that, would you say that, because the way you describe the face, you certainly know what the classic gray is described at. You've probably seen photographs.
Well,
is
it
that
would be
similar?
A giant gray. I guess that's right.
Okay, so, but these are much taller than what...
No, there are tall. I looked at that later on. People have seen the likes of them before, but they're not the only ones. Let me go on again. Shall I go on?
Go right ahead.
All right, the next year, 94. Now, that phase had ended. In 94, Herzl Casentini, that's the man's name, he lived in a community called Yetzit, which was only 10 miles from my home. Not only, he was the security officer for Yetzit. He's playing cards with his friend Gideon Ezra when there's a knock at the door. He opens the door and sees in front of him a 9-foot, what he called magnetic giant. In other words, there was some cloud around him. That's how he described it. Leave it at that. He shuts the door behind him. He says to his friend Gideon, look out the window. Gideon sees this thing out the window, and just like a Hollywood comedy, he faints. The real thing. I met Gideon, too. Harel was his name. Believe me, you caught me off guard. I don't have my notes in front of me. Harel was his name. Neither here nor there. He phones the police, and he describes what he saw, and the police don't believe him. They don't want to come. And he describes his profession. He says, I am the security officer for Yetzit. We've had an intrusion, and believe me, in Israel, that brings the police to any place, a report of a possible terrorism or intrusion. They came there. Within 20 minutes, they were there. They traced. Now, remember, I live 10 miles away. It was on the news that night, and why not? The man was in charge of security for Yetzit. I went there the next day. In the ground were footsteps, and not footsteps like you know. They were really deep. They were human-sized shoes. I put my foot in them. In fact, I brought my son. He was just a little kid. He stuck his foot in them. They were close to a foot deep, at the heel only about 5 inches deep, which, by the way, means whatever it was walked on tippy toes, but he also weighed a ton. I tried, again, for the sighting screw, I tried jumping on the ground.
Oh,
I
gosh.
Couldn't
okay,
get
Mary,
an inch
I'm
in.
So sorry. We are at the end of the show. It's incredible. It's been great to have you here. I really wish we could continue. Let's have you back to go
anytime.
Into more of this. Thank
anytime.
You very much.
It was a nice experience.
I apologize to everyone who didn't get to ask their questions. There are a lot of people that wanted to ask you questions. Thank you so much for coming on the show. You've actually done a great job, and I know it hasn't been easy, and I just want to thank you.
Oh, no, you were a great hostess.
All right. You take care, all right?
Bye,
thank
all.
Thank you, everyone. Good night.
Now you and your family and friends can enjoy the cleanest, most delicious, and healthy drinking water anytime, even while traveling, camping, at sporting events, or in emergency situations. The Berkeleyte removes bacteria, cysts, parasites, and harmful chemicals to below detectable levels. It also reduces nitrates and unhealthy minerals like lead and mercury, while leaving in the beneficial and nutritional minerals your body needs. Berkeleyte is so powerful, it can even purify raw, untreated water from remote lakes and streams. And the optional PF2 filters even remove fluoride. The Berkeleyte LED, with its rechargeable lighting system, can be used as a nightlight or a camp light. To view or purchase your Berkeley water system and replacement filters, please visit American Freedom Radio's website at AmericanFreedomRadio.com and click the Berkeley banner. Once again, that's AmericanFreedomRadio.com and click the Berkey Water banner. Not yet available in Iowa.
As many of you know, I promote my bullion business, Drockton Bullion, on a regular basis. I created Drockton Bullion to make sure that you were prepared for the economic collapse that will shortly befall not just the United States, but literally the entire globe. As you know, silver has increased in value almost 1,000% since 2000. And gold has gone up at least 600%. Drockton Bullion specializes in helping you find everything from 90% silver coins that were minted before 1964, 0.999% pure silver rounds, silver eagles, gold bars, gold coins, and everything else that you need for your bullion needs. But more importantly, you get me, Paul Drockton, to consult with, to talk with, to help you, to guide you through the purchasing process. Totally, Drockton Bullion has made millions in sales, my friends. We know what we're doing, and we can help you.
Could it all be a bad dream or a nightmare? Based on preposterous notions and on ideas whose time should never have come, preventive war is used as a road to peace. Tolerance delivered by government guns. An empire replacing the republic. Slavery sold as liberty. Socialism to save capitalism. A government out of control. Unrestrained by the Constitution, the rule of law, or morality. Money does not grow on trees, nor does prosperity come from a government printing press or escalating deficit. A central bank that deliberately destroys the value of the currency in secrecy, without restraint, cheered on by the pseudo-capitalists of Wall Street, the military-industrial complex. The good news is the reversal is achievable through peaceful and intellectual means, and fortunately, the number of those who care are growing exponentially.
Do you realize every day we are being put under constant stress from wireless radiation? What's worse is that you don't even know that it's happening. It puts as much stress on our body as if we had a constant viral infection, draining our energy and sapping our strength, or just making us irritable and fatigued. These wireless fields are being emitted from computers, microwaves, mobile phones, power lines, and any electrical appliance. Now there is a solution. A group of research engineers in New Zealand have come up with an active shielding device that shields you from wireless radiation at a cellular level. BlueShield comes in three models, a household, portable, and USB that plugs into any computer. The great thing about BlueShield is it is very affordable and guaranteed to last. A one-off purchase will see you being protected for years to come. Visit AmericanFreedomRadio.com and click on the BlueShield banner. BlueShield, brought to you by the VinnieEastwoodShow.com.
No rules. rules, no rules, no taboo topics,
no taboo topics,
no fear of doom,
no fear of doom.
We are
American Freedom Radio,
American Freedom Radio.